going on, guys? Mad Lab here. You are in the Main Event Breakdown brought to you by the Mayo Media Network. I am working from home today in Orange County, California. My partner, Bush, is in Denver with his family, so I'm flying solo today. Before we jump into this amazing card that we have, I want to talk about two fights prior. I want to talk about last night's fight with Clarissa Shields, her debut. I also want to talk about the Logan Paul Mayweather fight. I just want to touch on that a minute. I got a lot of messages on Twitter. I got a lot of, just messages in general, text messages from friends and stuff like that. I can't believe I paid for this. So I'm gonna tell you exactly what I told all of them. This is what you signed up for when you bought this fight. This is why, for me, as a huge boxing fan that would buy every fight, I mean, every fight, doesn't matter if it was Friday night fights, you know, ESPN back in the day, you know, me and Bush used to literally go to the Friday night, the ESPN fights. We used to get a table down low, 10 guys, $1,000 on the floor. They give you food, drinks, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Names you've never even heard of, but it was boxing. So we love it. And we just would go. So normally any pay-per-view boxing fight, I'm going to buy. I did not buy this fight because I'm not going to be laughed at by these people where Mayweather's getting a $120 million and Logan Paul's getting $20 million for a fight that has no judges, no winner or loser. Right there tells you it's an exhibition fight. I mean, that's as exhibition as it gets. The only way that there's a winner or loser is in your eyes. Who do you think won? Or if the ref steps in and says, all right, look, he's had enough. Okay? So that's what you signed up for. So if you paid the money for it, I'm sorry that you paid for the money for it. I actually feel bad that you paid for the money for it. But I was telling, don't buy this fight. They're laughing at us. And I'm not saying you, I'm saying us. They're laughing at us to purchase a fight. It's a circus. It's a spectacle. It makes boxing look terrible. You have a guy who was 190, probably came into the ring 200 pounds with one fight under his belt against the greatest defensive boxer of all time that's 50 pounds lighter. What did you think was going to happen? Did you think it was going to be Barrera Morales? Did you think it was going to be Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti? Did you think it was going to be Leonard Duran? Like, what did you think it was going to be? That's all it could have been. It was just going to be a circus, and it was just going to be a shit show. You know, so I apologize for the people that have bought that, especially people that aren't into boxing. This is what bothers me about this fight, is because it's not for guys like me or guys like Bush or any guys like you, especially someone like Cody, who enjoys boxing and he understands boxing. And I could sit down and talk to these guys about boxing. I feel bad for the people who really don't know boxing and then say, you know, I'm going to give this a try. And they come and they watch that garbage. And that's what they think boxing is. They think it's holding. They think it's, you know, just it's boring. And, you know, so I do feel bad for people like that. But the people who understand boxing and love boxing, who bought that fight, like, can't make excuses for you. Like, you should know, as an avid purist in boxing, like, that's a joke. That fight was a joke. I never liked Floyd Mayweather. Okay, I never liked him. People who say he's the greatest fighter of all time, I'll argue with them until they die. I think he's the greatest defensive boxer of all time. He's far from the greatest fighter of all time. But the guy is about money. He always said his entire career, if it makes money, it makes sense. He made $120 million off that fight. Logan Paul made $20 million off that fight. So he did something right. You know, he did something right. We did something wrong because we're the ones who purchased it. I personally, like I said, I didn't purchase it. But, you know, we were the sheep. We were the ones who went out and paid the money, 50, 60, whatever it was, to buy this thing. Hopefully it's a lesson learned to you guys. Some of these fights, yes, I am interested in. Like, I am actually interested in Tyron Woodley and Jake Paul. I'm interested in that fight. I will buy that fight. It's a closer match fight. It's kind of interesting, right? Like, I'm interested to see what happens there. To watch Mayweather fight anybody anymore, unless it's a boxer, unless he comes out and he fights like Pacquiao, like the two old men coming, I'm not interested. I'm just not interested because I know Mayweather's angles, his entire career. I know what his angles are. His angles are business. He always said getting hit isn't fun. You're never going to see Floyd Mayweather in a war. Not going to happen. His entire career, he's never been in war. He's been hit a couple times. You know, Mosley hit him. Zab Judah hit him. You know, there's a couple of fights where he's actually been hit and you're like, oh my God. But when he gets hit, the few times that he does get hit, like everybody jumps off their seat, oh my God, he's rocked. It's because he doesn't get into those wars quickly, you know, a lot. Never. Miguel Cotto hit him. You know, so when you watch, it's almost like Habib. It's almost like, how many times have you seen Habib on his back? Gavin. So if somebody takes Habib down, all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, he's in trouble. But it's something you don't see very often. So if these great fighters, these great fighters, Miguel Cotto, all these guys can't drag him into a, Maidana dragged him into a little bit of a war. But if you can't drag him into a war, what makes you think that a YouTuber with one fight is going to drag him into this war on an exhibition fight at 44 years old? It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's too well-versed in defense. He's too slick. It's just not going to happen. So I hope it's a lesson learned to you guys. It was a complete diabolical embarrassment for him and boxing. For him, because he probably should have finished him. You know, as far as the people that say that he hit him and he was like holding him up, that didn't happen. His arms were in a completely different position. It almost looked like he was trying to throw him down. I do believe that Mayweather was trying to finish him at a certain point, and he didn't get the job done. But it was an embarrassment. And like I said, I apologize for the people that bought it. Let's move over now to last night. This is the thing that really bothers me. Clarissa Shields is one of the highest decorated boxers of all time as a female. She was all lined up to fight Leila Ali. She's constantly called out by people. Just a tremendous, tremendous high pedigree of the elitist of boxing athletes. She decides to try her hand in MMA. This is her first fight. She's fighting a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a losing record. But still, she's got 12 years under her belt in MMA and Jiu-Jitsu and stuff like that. So it's a completely different game. She comes down the first round, she gets taken down. She comes down the second round, she gets taken down. When they were on their feet, it almost looked like there was no competition. It's obvious. You can see her hand speed, her combinations, her footwork. You're not going to compete with Clarissa Shields on the feet. You're just not. Nobody in MMA will. It's almost like Mackenzie Dern. When she comes out, she comes out and she's got no striking, but she's got the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to lean on. If she gets you down, it's over. It's the same thing with Clarissa Shields. If you stay on the feet, it's over. She loses for round one. She loses round two. She's mounted. She's in the worst positions possible. She's mounted in round one. Then she comes out round three. She stuffs a couple takedowns. She starts to get her boxing going, starts to hurt Elkins, gets her down, and ground and pounds her out until the ref stops the fight. Good for her. She's 1-0 now. She's the only, I believe, the only undefeated combat sports athlete in two sports. It is what it is. Then Twitter explodes. And this is what I mean about MMA Twitter. Or combat sports Twitter in general. You can really tell who knows what they're talking about when things like this happen. I don't know if it's because people picked Elkins or people just hate boxing and boxing hates MMA. It's ridiculous. Why people in boxing and MMA hate each other, I don't get it. But you seem very foolish when you read some of these tweets. People saying that, boxing doesn't mean anything in MMA. Or give her 5-6 years and she's going to be, she'll be a good fighter. You know, she's got to practice. First of all, Clarissa Shields is never going to be a good grappler. That's number one. Okay. When you're an elitist at something like boxing, like she is, the top of the food chain, she's not there, top five, top four. She is the top of the food chain. When you have a pedigree and you have an ace in your pocket that's that good, that you know you're that much higher than everybody else, you don't need to be a well-versed grappler. All you need is very good takedown defense. You need to have some defensive grappling, and you just need to know how to stay safe and get yourself back to your feet. That's what you need to know. You don't need years to learn that. When you're a high-level athlete like that, let's put it this way, give her credit. That girl was in a very bad situation for a couple minutes in that fight. Full mounted by brown belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in her debut fight in front of many people nationally. That this girl was the quote, they call her, and she was about to lose to a girl with a lose. She didn't panic. She didn't make a mistake. She didn't roll over and give her back. In the third round, she had very heavy hips. She understands what she has to do. Why? Because she is a athlete, but most importantly, the girl is a fucking winner. She's a winner. Okay, she knows how to win. She refuses to lose. Will she lose? Yeah, it depends on the matchup. She's not there yet. But if you think she needs a couple years, you're out of your mind. If you think that boxing doesn't mean anything in MMA, you're out of your mind. You're just out of your mind. Okay, so when you have hands like that, and you have athletic ability like that, and you have mental fortitude to win like that, you could put your hands down for a little while. When you have that elite, when you're that elite in the skill set, you could put it down because no one's going to catch up to you anyway. You could put it down for a little while and you could just focus on takedown defense, some defensive grappling, you know, a couple moves here and there to, you know, get you back to your feet and just drill and drill. You think you need years to do that as a high level athlete? No, you need to give that girl 6 months of nonstop takedown defense, drilling, 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 drilling. She's just going to get better and better and better. And then every fight, it's going to become more natural and fluent to her. She didn't panic. She was very patient. She was very composed, you know, and she just kept in her mind that even when her coaches were telling her, get up, she's like, no. She knew what she wanted to do. She wasn't afraid to go to the ground with her. That says a lot about her. So for the people that are shitting on her, you like really need to study combat sports a little bit more. Because at the end of the day, boxing is a form of fighting. Okay, and the old saying goes, you could be a black brown Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but if you get fucking punched in the face once, you're now a brown belt. You get punched in the face again, you're now a purple belt. Okay, so you can punch the belts out of people. It's a fact. Okay, but she does need takedown defense. She does need, but you guys make it sound like she's supposed to know all this. This was her debut fight. I don't care if she fought some Mary off the street that was a black brown Brazilian jiu-jitsu that's never won a fight. The fact of the matter is, it is a different game. But it also is a form of combat sports. And you need to understand that the girl's going to take a punch. She can eat them. The girl's got hand speed. The girl's got slick boxing. The girl's got power. And the girl's a purebred athlete. So for those out there tweeting, oh, she needs to give her a couple years or, you know, boxing doesn't mean nothing in MMA. Then I guess Mackenzie Dern. What was Mackenzie's Dern? I mean, what was her? She was just a straight grappler with the worst boxing. And she was getting chewed up on her feet. But as soon as she would take you down, it was endgame. Now her hands are starting to come in. What about Francis Ngannou? He had zero wrestling. Zero. The guy was just power. That's all he was. But now he's got a little bit of wrestling. It takes time. I mean, you got to give the girl time. But if you think it's going to take her years to learn a little bit of takedown defense and some grappling defense, then you guys keep betting against her. I know there's people out there who bet against her. I know for a fact. But keep betting against her. Take a girl who has a losing record in MMA against a high-level Olympic athlete. I mean, look at Henry Cejudo. The same thing. Henry Cejudo came into – he had a little bit of hands when he came in, but he was majority, a lot of – look at his hands now. I feel like the guy can go and box professional boxers. It takes time. When you're a high-level athlete like that, it takes you a quarter of the time. So it's not going to take her that long. Am I saying she's going to be a champion or Kayla Harrison or something like that? No, I'm not saying that. Or Amanda Nunes? No, not saying that at all. But for you guys to shit on her debut, you just either hate boxing or you need to study a little bit more. All right, so let's jump into this card. This is the card of cards. What a great, great card. You know, the one thing I did notice about this card is the pricing is off all over the place. So I'm just going to tell you guys from a GPP setting, before we get into the main, you want to really scatter the board a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of fighters on here. I mean, that are borderline. I mean, Vittori's one of them. I mean, if you look at them, they got them priced as a punt play. You know, you see this price on guys that are entering the UFC, not on a guy like Marvin Vittori. So it's not wavering. You know, the price doesn't waver who I think is going to win, but the price can kind of waver. You know, how you're setting this in your lineups, because you've got to go for value. These guys fought 3 years ago, you know, and what a lot of people are leaning on now, and these are all valid points. I'm not shitting on the points. These are all valid points. A lot of people are leaning on right now is, you know, Marvin Vittori, you know, he's much improved. Some people thought he won that fight 3 years ago, you know, on a very close fight. I'm not going to argue either way. I actually liked Vittori in that fight. I thought he fought very well. He's so improved, this and that. You know, look how great he looked against this one. Look how great he looked against that one. Look where he's training and this and that. And I get all that. But the fact of the matter is, if he's improving in 3 years, What has Izzy been doing? He hasn't been sitting on the couch. The guy has become a world champion. The guy has fought for a belt in, you know, in another division. He's knocked out some of the best. He's fought some of the best. And he's got one black eye from Jan Blachowicz. But what you guys got to understand is he went up a division for that. You know, he went up a division for that fight. He personally did not look good to me in that fight. He looked okay. He did look a little bit tentative. He did look like he was fearing the power a little bit. Jan was able to take him down, get on top of him, you know, and run the gamut that way. Jan is always underrated. He's always an underdog in all his fights. What would be different there? I did think that, you know, Izzy did not look as sharp. I would say that Vettori probably made, you know, the more improvements, you know, from an offensive standpoint. But when you look at him from a defensive standpoint, he is extremely, extremely hittable. He's still very hittable. So when I'm talking about being a more well-rounded skill set, where Vettori has become the more well-rounded, he's elevated certain nuances of his game more than Izzy. Izzy's striking has become much more accurate, much more precise, and much more fluent and comfortable in there. So now, when you got a guy who's defensive fighting, his head is on the center line, he kind of comes forward, he sometimes comes in with reckless abandon just to get what he wants, or eat two to take one, you know, that's just more offense that Izzy's going to be able to fire at him. I think it's going to be a very good fight, but here's my problem with rematches across this whole card. It's not often that a rematch is as good as the first fight, especially in a really, really good fight. You know, look at Figueiredo and Moreno. I'd be shocked if that fight was as exciting as the first one. I wouldn't be shocked if one of them maybe knock each other out in the first or second round and we're like, oh, wow, what happened there? You know, like usually the rematches are not as good as the first fight. So I don't know if this is going to be some great war. I don't know if the Figueiredo and Moreno fight is going to be some great war. They could be. We could get a Ward Gatti, Barrera Morales trilogy out of something like this. Sometimes they match up that good, and it's just this is the way it's going to happen. I remember during Gatti Ward, in the second fight, I remember Jim Lampley saying round 13, they're picking up right where they left off, and they did. It was literally a war from round one on, you know. So it can happen. It just sometimes the matchup calls for that. Sometimes the night calls for that. So I don't know if it was the night that called for that or if this is going to be the matchup that calls for that. And in the Vettori and Adesanya fight, the same thing. I don't know what you're going to get here, but I'm going to tell you this. The paths are clear. Okay, the paths are clear. Marvin Vettori needs to utilize his hands only to get in and find a bead on Adesanya's hips. That's got to be his game plan. He's got to get him down early. He's got to get him down often. Adesanya is going to get up, especially in the beginning. He's going to get up. But here's the thing. Even though he gets taken down, even if the shots fail, even if he sits him down and gets back up or he gets him against the cage and he has it, but he can't lock his hands up. Just for the mere fact that the look is that Izzy knows that, all right, I'm standing up and he's coming from my hips, nonstop, he's coming from my hips. It makes him defend two levels at that point. And when you're defending two levels at that point, you can't let your hands go freely. Because if you're letting your hands go freely, now you're opening up your hips. So he's got to be a little bit more tentative. He's got to really mind space and range a lot more. If Vettori's sitting there and trading with him in the center of the ring, and he's like, come to the center of the ring, and they're training, he don't got to worry about that. He's like, I got this guy. I baited him into a firefight now. He does not want to take me to the ground because he wants to show the world. And this is the way some people's are wired. And I think Vettori might be wired that way. You know, there are certain fighters that are very emotional that, and Cody Garbrandt's one of them, where they're like, I'm going to beat this guy at his own game. You could talk somebody into your fight. Why don't you stand in the center? You can't stand with me. You can't hang on the feet with me. Oh yeah, I can't hang on the feet with you. And all of a sudden there he is trying to hang on the feet. You know, so if he can bait him into that firefight, then no, he doesn't have to defend two levels. But I think Vettori is going to go on his hips. And I think that Adesanya's takedown defense is a little underrated. I think that Jan was just such a bigger guy and so much stronger that it was a lot harder for him to really get out from under him and stop those takedowns. And Jan, like I said, is extremely underrated. And I think Vettori's wrestling and takedowns are underrated as well. I just think he's a little more sloppy with his approach. And I think that the path for him to win this fight is he's going to have to really change it up. But he's going to have to use the striking as a secondary option. He's going to have to use the wrestling and grappling as a primary option. And by doing that, like I said, Izzy is going to be able to stay in range. He's going to have to mind two levels. And the output isn't going to come out as fluently, because now he knows he's got to worry if he gets it on his hips, he's got to push his head down. You know, he's going to really, really try to stay away from that. On the flip side, what does Izzy have to do? Izzy has to make sure that center line is his friend. He doesn't want to come, you know, over the top and maybe some uppercut stuff, but he wants that center line because when Vettori comes in, he's going to want to throw things down the center line to warn him. Yeah, you may want to come in, but you're going to get hit 1, 2, 3 shots on the way in, because he does keep his head exposed. By doing that, you're going to make him hesitant to come in, and you're going to make him really make sure that he's got a path to go in. He's just not going to come in recklessly, because he's like, I went in recklessly last time, and he hit me with an uppercut, he hit me with an elbow, he got me with 2, 3 shots. And that's where his offense is going to come in. So now, no, he's not defending two levels, but he's got to defend himself on that center line. And from that point, you got to start creating angles for yourself to get in on the hip. You can't just shoot straight in. I'm like, wow, this is easy. I'm coming right underneath, and I got his hips, and it's over. No, you got to make sure that you're ready and you're timing your shots, that when he does come in, you're hitting him a 1, 2, 3 warning shot saying, you come in, you're getting hit. That's what's going to keep him erect. That's what's going to keep him thinking too. So it's going to be both of these guys playing a cat and mouse game with each other. And I just think that Izzy's going to win this fight. I think that, you know, the first fight was kind of, it was obviously a split decision. You know, some people thought that he won. Some people thought that Vettori won. I think he's going to want to put a stamp on this. And I think that coming back off a loss, even though it was 205, still a loss. It's still a loss. I don't see Izzy losing 2 in a row, especially this one in his division. I think that Vettori is a super live dog in this fight. He's training over in Huntington Beach. He's training over with Rafael Cordero. He's got some great guys with him. He's got Gastelum who fought Izzy. You know, so they have the right tools to do it. I just think, especially in the press conference, at the end of the press conference, I think Izzy can make him very emotional. He made him very emotional at the end. I was actually very surprised that Vettori was so calm during the whole press conference when Izzy was talking shit to him, and he was just like laughing and saying, what are you talking about? And then I was like, well, you know, he's got a good firm grasp on his emotion. And then at the end, he exploded. The guy just fucking exploded. He's fucking pushing chairs. There is a boiling point for Vettori that you can take him to. And if he goes into the second and third round, and he's getting jabbed apart and he's getting picked apart and Izzy's talking to him, he's going to start getting reckless in there. And when you start getting reckless against a marksman like Izzy, that's going to be a problem. So my official pick is going to be Izzy. I have no bet on this fight. I think the line is juiced a little bit too much. If you look at the current market values, Adam, 9,300, you have Izzy hit the 100-point mark, 5 of 10. The current market value is 5 of 10, so he's hitting about a 50% rate. And you got Vettori at 6,900. 4 of 10, 100-point mark, and 6 of 10 current market. I would hedge this fight rather closely. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the pricing calls for it. You can't fade Vettori at 6,900. Not a 5-round fight. You just can't. You can't fade him at that price. So I'm going to have, about 3 of Vettori. And Adesanya at 9,300, super, super expensive. But it is a 5-round fight. And I do think there is a possibility where, even though Vettori is super durable, I think there's a possibility that he can end this late. So I'm going to go 4 of Adesanya. However, super close fight. My slight lean is Izzy to retain the strap. And I would just be very, very careful with the pricing on this entire card. I'll talk to you soon.